Good morning, church. Please turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 31. We are going to be finishing our short series through Proverbs chapter 30 and 31 today. As the heading in your Bible might say, these well-known verses are a poem written in praise of the woman or wife that fears the Lord, the woman of character, the woman of wisdom. You can't see this in your Hebrew or in your English Bibles, but this poem is actually an acrostic, which means that each line of the poem begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, so you will notice there are 22 verses in this poem. With that being said, let us begin reading in Proverbs 31, verse 10. Who can find a wife of noble character? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will not lack anything good. She rewards him with good, not evil, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flask and works with willing hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from far away. She rises while it is still night and provides food for her household and portions for her female servants. She evaluates a field and buys it. She plants a vineyard with her earnings. She draws on her strength and reveals that her arms are strong. She sees that her profits are good, and her lamp never goes out at night. She extends her hands to the spinning staff, and her hands hold the spindle. Her hands reach out to the poor, and she extends her hands to the needy. She is not afraid for her household when it snows, for all in her household are doubly clothed. She makes her own bed coverings. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known at the city gates, where he sits among the elders of the land. She makes and sells linen garments. She delivers belts to the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she can laugh at the time to come. Her mouth speaks wisdom, and loving instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the activities of her household and is never idle. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. Many women have done noble deeds, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord will be praised. Give her the reward of her labor. And let her works praise her at the city gates. Well, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to these verses, we again pray that you would help us to value what you value. Father, that these verses would be an encouragement to the women of our congregation. Father, that they would be an encouragement to the men of our congregation, that they would lead us to pursue godly character, to praise your character. Father, we pray that you would form us to value you, to seek after you more than anything else. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, 7 or 8 years ago, I had the chance to visit Shanghai, China for a couple of weeks. And one of the most interesting places I visited there was the Shanghai Marriage Market. Yes, you heard that right. The Shanghai Marriage Market, which takes place every weekend at one of the large parks in Shanghai. Now, when I walked into the park, there were hundreds of open umbrellas just lining the pathways along the park. They were sitting on the ground. They were open. They were lined up next to each other. And posted or taped on the top of each umbrella was something of a marriage CV for an eligible young man or young woman. See, what happens at the marriage market is that parents of young men and women come to the park. They put down their umbrella, and then they tape the CV of their son or daughter on top of the umbrella so people can stroll by and see if they are indeed an eligible match. Then those parents go walk around the park. They look at other CVs, trying to find a suitable match for their children. So, of course, I took a picture of one of the CVs while I was there, and I went back in preparation for the sermon and found it. This is what it said. The title of the CV was Female, Melbourne, Australia. That was who was being advertised. It says, born in 1986, originally from Shanghai, the only child, height 1.60 meters, parents both live in Shanghai, working full-time, moved to Australia in 2003, attended high school in Melbourne, graduated from the University of Melbourne with a bachelor's degree in 2008, working as a chartered accountant in the public practice sector. Looking for man, born between 1981 and 1986, height over 1.70 meters, bachelor's degree or higher, has permanent residence, and is financially independent. Well, the idea of a marriage market seems a little bit strange to me, being from the United States, if I'm honest. There's nothing wrong with it, just a little strange. But did you notice anything about the marriage CV that I read? The entire focus was on education and appearance and career. If I remember correctly, that was true for basically every marriage CV that I was able to read, those that had the English translations. It was clear what parents most valued. They were interested in finding someone successful for their children to marry, someone at the same social level. My friends, I know that many of your cultures practiced arranged marriages. Again, nothing wrong with that. But what do the parents in your cultures value? What do you value? The church Proverbs 31 tells us that what we are to value, that we are to value something different than education or accomplishment or appearance. We are to value wisdom and virtue. We are to value godliness. Men, this is what you should be looking for in a wife. Women and young ladies, this is what you should seek to cultivate above all else. If you're married, continue to cultivate it. If you would like to be married, become the person that you would like to be now. Now, it is clear that the woman described in Proverbs 31 is hardworking and successful. She would surely have an attractive CV at the Shanghai marriage market. Nevertheless, what she is praised for more than anything else, above all else, is her character. It is the fact that she fears the Lord. My friends, before we dive into these verses, I would like to first give something of an overview of this entire poem to help us better understand the verses that will follow. And the main thing that I want you to see is that the woman described in this poem is really the embodiment of wisdom itself. She is something of wisdom put into practice, like a living example of wisdom. So most of the book of Proverbs is written from the perspective of a father to a son. It's King Solomon writing to his son, the future king. So as Pastor Kevin DeYoung writes, and he writes this about the book of Proverbs, the book as a whole is about the choice between two different women. Throughout the book, there is one woman, she is called Folly, and then there is another woman, and she is called Wisdom. And the book is about that choice. What sort of woman are you going to pursue? The qualities of the excellent wife in Proverbs 31 are the qualities of wisdom throughout the book itself. So in Proverbs 9, go to Proverbs 9, you don't have to go there, but we read this. Folly is a rowdy woman. She is gullible and knows nothing. She sits by the doorway of her house on the seat at the highest point of the city, calling to those who pass by. And we see that she's seeking to entice people into sin, to wrongdoing. So Proverbs encourages us to avoid that woman. Do not listen to her. But turn with me for a moment to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, just a few pages to the left of your Bible. And just listen to how wisdom is described in Proverbs chapter 8. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'd encourage you to do that later. But starting in verse 1, doesn't wisdom call out? Doesn't understanding make her voice heard? At the heights overlooking the road, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates leading into the city, at the main entrance, she cries out. Verse 10, accept my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than pure gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and nothing desirable can equal it. Verse 35, for the one who finds me finds wisdom, finds life, and obtains favor from the Lord. But the one who misses me harms himself. All who hate me love death. Friends, doesn't that sound a lot like Proverbs 31? Again, the woman of Proverbs 31 is something like a living example of wisdom. She's the embodiment of the wisdom that is found throughout the book of Proverbs. Now, why is this important to understand? Well, let me give you two reasons why that is a helpful thing to understand. One, it means that Proverbs 31 is about more than just the value of a wife who fears the Lord. It is certainly about that. That is a right application. But it is also about the value of wisdom itself. And therefore, Proverbs 31 applies to us all, whether man or woman. Second, it means that the wife described here in Proverbs 31 is something like an idealized woman, a perfected example in some ways. There's nothing negative mentioned about her. And so, ladies, whether you're young or old, whether you're married or single, should you strive to imitate the virtue of this woman? Yes, absolutely. She is a model. To pursue the virtues listed here is to pursue wisdom itself. It pleases the Lord. This is what it looks like to fear the Lord. But to again quote Kevin DeYoung, he writes, "This is an idealized picture of a godly woman. This is not a biography. It presumes some things which are not true of all women. In fact, you put it together and it's not true of most women. One, this woman is married. Two, she has children. She is obviously physically healthy and has energy to do lots of things. And then she also is of some financial means. She has some wealth. She has a household. She has servants." In other words, what is true of this woman, even just her life circumstances, is certainly not true of all women. Therefore, sisters, if all these things are not true of you, if you are not married, if you do not have kids, if you do not have the business success of this woman, this does not make you a failure or somehow less godly. You can still be a Proverbs 31 woman if all these things that we see in this passage are not necessarily true of you. What you're to strive for, what you're to imitate, is the character of this woman in all aspects of your life. What you are to strive for is to fear the Lord as she fears the Lord. And what we see is what the fear of the Lord looks like, lived out in various aspects of life. And ladies, if you wonder, as my daughter did, why there is not a similar description of a godly man in Proverbs, I would invite you to go read Psalm 112 later, which basically does provide the picture of a godly man that is the counterpoint to this. And I'd also say Proverbs, the book, is written from a father to a son. So basically the whole of the wisdom that we find in Proverbs, well, that's the description of a godly man. It's a man who lives those things out. In church, the final thing I want you to understand about this poem is that this poem is most directly addressed to men. Men, this poem is encouraging you to value the woman of character and wisdom described here. That is what you should be looking for on a marriage CV. But again, since this poem is about wisdom itself, since it's also about wisdom itself, it's a call for all of us to desire wisdom, to value wisdom, biblical wisdom, to pursue it, to seek after it, to choose woman wisdom and not woman folly. So, church, I want us to see four things about the woman of noble character from this passage. Four things, therefore, about wisdom from this passage. And these will serve as the outline of the sermon. First, the blessing of a godly woman. Second, the work of a godly woman. Third, the character of a godly woman. And fourth, the praise of a godly woman. You can find that outline in your bulletins. But first, the blessing of a godly woman. Let me first begin by reading Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. "Happy is a man who finds wisdom and who acquires understanding. She is more precious than jewels. Nothing you desire can equal her." Well, the same thing, therefore, is true for the one who finds a wife of wisdom or a wife of virtue. Verse 10, "She is far more precious than jewels." Friends, just as wisdom is a blessing to all who find her, so is a wife of noble character to her husband. She brings him joy and honor and blessing. To those of you who are single, there are many things that might attract you to a potential spouse. Appearance, achievement, education, just think of the CV at the Shanghai Marriage Market. But none of those qualities are more precious than the rare jewel of godly character. Friends, the character of the husband or the wife that you one day choose if you are not married is of utmost importance. Now, the temptation, especially the longer that you stay single, is to compromise. The temptation is to settle. To wonder, is it really a big deal to marry someone who's not a Christian? Or does it really matter if I marry someone who seems lukewarm about the Lord at best? Friends, let me urge you not to compromise. Choose woman wisdom, or if you're a lady, choose man wisdom. Do not settle for woman folly. Just look at the blessings of a wife of noble character mentioned in verses 11 and 12 and ask yourself, don't you want these blessings? The heart of her husband, trust in her, and he will not lack anything good. She rewards him with good, not evil, all the days of her life. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I saw a story in Gulf News about an Egyptian woman who was seeking to divorce her husband because every time he left the house, he locked the refrigerator so she couldn't access it. Now, he didn't even trust his wife with the food while he was gone. Now, look, that is abusive behavior. That is not the wife's fault. But it does illustrate how miserable marriage is when there is no trust. How sad it is to see the increasing trend for couples to sign prenuptial agreements to protect themselves from one another before they even marry. Sadly, many couples keep their finances separate because they do not fully trust the other. Some live in constant fear that their spouses are going to cheat on them. They're constantly anxious about that. Others wonder whether divorce is right around the corner because they're not sure their husband or wife will really fulfill their vow until death do us part. Brothers and sisters, wisdom and character build trust. And that trust is far more precious than jewels. The husband of a godly woman trusts her because he knows her character. He trusts that she will seek to do what is right and please the Lord. Certainly she will not do that perfectly, but that's going to be the desire of her heart. And brothers and sisters, marriage is a joy when that kind of trust is present. The worldly picture of marriage is almost like that trust can't even exist. It is absent, but it can exist, and it is a joy when it does. And just notice in verse 12 that this trust brings reward. When a husband trusts his wife and encourages her to use her gifts, when he gives her the freedom to manage the household and pursue various opportunities that she is well suited for, well, he is rewarded with good. Man, your wife is intended to be a blessing from the Lord. Let her be. Encourage her to use and develop the gifts that God has given her. Free her to glorify the Lord in the work that he has equipped her and called her to do. That is the blessing of a godly woman. That is the blessing of a godly wife. But second, we want to consider the work of a godly woman. Now, much of this poem, as you probably noticed as we read through it, is focused on the work of the wives of the godly woman. Remember, though, the woman of Proverbs 31 is something of an idealized picture. So you may not be in a position to accomplish everything that she did. You may not have the same opportunities. You may not have the same resources. But friends, what you can do is you can imitate the way in which she works. You can imitate her character. And church, I want you to notice two things particularly about the work of a godly woman. She is diligent, or she's faithful in her work. And second, she works for the good of others. She works for the benefit of others. You might say that she serves. Now, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4 says this, "Idle hands," that's another way of saying lazy hands, "idle hands make one poor, but diligent hands bring riches." And of course, hard work is a theme throughout the book of Proverbs. It's commended. Those who work hard are wise. Well, then, of course, the woman of wisdom is not idle. She works hard. She is wise. Verse 13, she works with willing hands. Her work is not just a duty. It's a delight. She delights to serve others. Verse 15, she rises while it is still night and provides food for her household. Verse 18, her lamp never goes out at night. Verse 27, she watches over the activities of her household and is never idle. Now friends, I think our world often portrays the good life as a life of leisure, a life of comfort. The world says those who are wise are those who find a way not to work, to not do anything. I mean, that's the message of most social media influencers, I believe. But friends, let me let you in on a secret. God has created you to work. work existed in the Garden of Eden before sin ever entered the world. Work is a good thing. Now that sin has entered our world, work is often difficult. It often brings frustration, but work itself is still good. And notice, even in our fallen world, diligent work often brings reward. Verse 18, she sees her profits are good. Verse 21, she is not afraid for her household when it snows. Verse 24, she can laugh at the time to come. The woman who fears the Lord does not fear for the future because she has prepared for the future. She's like the ant who gathers its food in the summer to prepare for the winter. She has worked diligently. Now remember, Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, are principles. They are not promises. So in a fallen world, hard work does not guarantee success or riches. The book of Proverbs does not guarantee you that if you work hard, you're going to have success or riches. It does not guarantee that disaster will not strike. But generally speaking, God has designed the world so that hard work is rewarded. Again, not every time. And so we see that diligent work, this woman's diligent work, both provides safety for her family, and it provides herself. She is provided peace of mind. She does not fear. She does not fear because she's prepared, because she's worked hard. But her greatest reason for not fearing for the future, the greatest reason for this peace of mind that she has, is that she trusts in the Lord. She fears the Lord. Ultimately, she does not fear for the future because she knows that her future is in God's good hands. It is in God's wise hands. Friends, you cannot prepare for everything. You can't prepare for cancer. You can't prepare for the death of the loved one. No amount of work can stop those things from coming. You cannot prevent them. A true preparation comes by faith in the God who holds all things in his hand. It is faith in him and trust in him that delivers you from fear of the future, fear of what comes, because you know you're safe in his hands. Even if you die, you're going someplace better. That is wisdom. So the woman who fears the Lord works diligently. But the second thing I want you to see is that the Proverbs 31 woman, she lives her life in the service of others. She was not living a self-focused life, but she was seeking to use the gifts and the opportunities and the resources that she had to serve others, to bless others. First, we see that she worked to provide for her household. She served her family. Verse 15, she rises while it is still night and provides for her household and portions for her female servant. Verse 27, she watches over the activities of her household and is never idle. And we see in verse 26 that she did not just work to physically provide for her household, things with like food and clothing, but she labors to give spiritual instruction. Her mouth speaks wisdom, and loving instruction is on her tongue. She gives words of wisdom to her husband. She speaks words of kindness. She instructs her children in the fear of the Lord. And so the godly wife works to make sure that her home is provided for, that her husband and her children are cared for, that her children grow in the knowledge and the fear of the Lord. God, in his wisdom, we thought about this last week, God, in his wisdom, has given wives and mothers a particular responsibility for caring for the household and the family. It's not that husbands have no responsibility to care for the household and the family. They do. But God has given wives and mothers a particular responsibility to care for their households. And this is a wonderful, and it is a glorious calling. Now, that does not mean women need to work only at home. We see this clearly in Proverbs 31. We're going to consider this in a moment. And yet God has given wives and mothers a unique responsibility to care for the home, to serve her husband, to serve her children. Proverbs 14:1, which we read last week, every wise woman builds her house. It's not talking about laying bricks. Every wise woman builds her house, but a foolish one tears it down with her own hands. Ladies, God may have given you the gift and the ability and even the opportunity to do a variety of things. If so, praise God. But if you are a wife and a mother, He has called you to give particular attention and priority to your family, to your home, to support your husband, to lift up your kids. So that being said, I want to touch on something that may be something of a sensitive issue here. And I want you to know that I want to say it with as much sensitivity as possible. This truth, this calling means that for some of you, you may should think about whether it is possible to move back home to where your husband is, where your children are if you are here without them. Now, I know some of you are here because this is the only way you know how to provide for your household. And maybe that is true. We live in a fallen world. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. And yet, I think it is worth asking whether you can both provide for your household and be present with your household at the same time. Both are important to the flourishing of your family. And husbands, just to be clear, I think there are other places in the Bible that should lead you to ask those same questions. Friends, if you have questions about that, I'd be happy to talk to you more after the service. Again, the goal is not to make you feel guilty, but to encourage you from God's word to maybe ask some questions that you haven't asked before. Now, again, even as I say all of that, we clearly see that the work of the Proverbs 31 woman extends outside of the home. Verse 16, she evaluates a field and buys it. She plants a vineyard with her earnings. Verse 24, she makes and sells linen garments. She delivers belts to the merchants. Now, while it is obvious that the care of her household is not neglected, and we see a priority there, the wise woman clearly works outside of the home. Now, ladies, I do not think this means that you have to work outside of the home. You don't have to have a career. But it is clearly fine if you do. The Proverbs 31 woman is praised for that. But notice that even in her work outside of the home, the Proverbs 31 woman seeks to benefit others. Verse 20, her hands reach out to the poor, and she extends her hands to the needy. Abigail Dodd, somebody who wrote on these verses, she sums it up this way. The pertinent question for women entering the workforce or motherhood, or setting up their home, or any sphere of work is this. Am I faithfully obeying God as His child by meeting the genuine needs of others? Or am I pursuing self-fulfillment or selfish ambition apart from Him? Our faithfulness first requires a kind of death. Death to self and selfish ambition. I think the increasing message in our world, ladies, is that fulfillment can only come if you have a successful career, if you somehow make a name for yourself out there in the world. The Bible says fulfillment comes by dying to yourself and serving others instead. Maybe you do that in the workplace. Maybe you do it at home. But fulfillment doesn't come by making a name for yourself. It comes by loving others and serving others, by laying down your life. And single ladies, I know that sadly churches sometimes preach the message that the only way you can be fulfilled is through marriage and family. It's if you have a husband and if you have kids. But friends, that is just not true. Church, the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31 did not just bless her family, but she blessed her neighbors and she blessed society as well. You do not have to be married and you do not have to be a mother to imitate her diligence or to imitate her concern for others. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, we're not going to go there, I'd encourage you to read it later. In 1 Corinthians 7, the Apostle Paul praises the virtues of singleness. It gives you more time and it gives you more energy to devote to the kingdom of God. Now, you may not have a physical family, but God has given you a family of faith, a local church to contribute to, a family who will love you and a family that you can serve and invest in. Praise God for all the single female missionaries around the world. The truth is that single ladies are far more faithful to serve as missionaries than single men. There's a whole lot more of them out around the world than there are single men. And certainly you do not have to be married to bless your neighbors and your community and your friends and your nieces and your nephews and your parents and anyone else that God may have put in your path. It does not require marriage or family to be a Proverbs 31 woman or to live a fulfilling life that pleases the Lord. Now, that being said, to those of you who are married, I do want to draw your attention to one more result of the wise woman's work. Look at verse 23. Her husband is known at the city gates, where he sits among the elders of the land. Now, to sit at the city gates among the elders is a place of honor and respect. Her husband was a leader in the community who helped him achieve this position of honor. Well, his godly wife, of course. She did not seek to make a name for herself. She lifted her husband up. Her work in managing the household had freed him to serve his community. He could be a blessing to others because she was a blessing to him. Praise the Lord. Church, one of the reasons that I am able to devote my attention to the church and serve you as a pastor is because Delaine manages our home so well. Praise God. Perhaps her work is not as visible as mine, but it is certainly just as valuable, as is the work of any godly and wise woman. But more than that, what we see in this verse is the evident character of the Proverbs 31 woman had enhanced her husband's reputation. The leaders in the community looked at him and said, well, if she would marry him, he must be wise if he has a wife like that. Her good reputation gave him an enhanced reputation. Brothers and sisters, if you are a Christian, your character does far more than just commend your own reputation. It acts as a salt and a light in the world. It gives good reputation to Christians everywhere, and it brings glory to Jesus Christ. So that is the work of the godly woman. We do want to turn now and consider that character, the character of the godly woman. That is the third point of the sermon. As I've already mentioned, it is character, it is godliness that is the focus of these verses. The work of the Proverbs 31 woman is simply an overflow of the character of her heart. It comes out in her words, it comes out in the actions of her hands, what she does. She is a living example of the wisdom of Proverbs. And so the call of Proverbs 31 is for you to imitate her character more than anything else. It is her virtue that is to be praised. That is what makes her a woman to be admired. Well, look again with me at verses 25 and 26. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she can laugh at the time to come. Her mouth speaks wisdom, and loving instruction is on her tongue. One Christian author observed that Hollywood movies have no idea how to portray strong women. Strong women are just made to look like strong men. They make them into superheroes. They show them unrealistically beating up a room full of bad guys. But that is not the kind of strength that Proverbs is talking about. It is speaking of a strength of character. The woman who fears the Lord is strong enough, and she is honorable enough to certainly work for her household. She has some physical strength, but you don't have to have physical strength to have her strength. She has a strength of character. She is strong enough to do what is right, even when it is unpopular. She is okay simply being the hero at home, though society tells her the only way to have any real value is to build some great career. She has the strength to serve others and not just herself. She speaks words of wisdom to those around her, whether they are her children or other sisters in the church. She is someone that people want to listen to. She has the strength to be faithful day after day after day in the ordinary responsibilities of life, the mundane things of life. She has the strength to sometimes be in the background, knowing that the Lord sees her and that the Lord honors her contributions even when others do not. And I love the way Proverbs puts it. Strength and honor are her clothing. Friends, what does society so often value in women? Well, it does not take long to figure out it is their appearance, their physical appearance. The world preaches that honor and value comes in making yourself physically appealing or sexy. Those who dress in luxury brands are esteemed. Immodest dress is praised. Magazines show airbrushed images of idealized physical beauty. Friends, I'm just going to ask you, you don't have to raise your hand, how many of you only post filtered photos on social media? But the Bible calls both women and men to value something different. It's to value character. The Bible says that this is where true beauty is to be found. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Do not let your beauty consist of outward things like elaborate hairstyles and wearing gold jewelry or fine clothes, but rather what is inside the heart, the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Friends, true beauty is to be found on the inside, and that beauty never fades. Just look at verse 30. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord will be praised. Now, ladies, it is not necessarily wrong to put some effort into cultivating physical beauty. In verse 22, we see that the Proverbs 31 woman dresses in fine linen and in purple. But physical beauty will one day fade. Character is what the Lord values. And it is character that will endure. And ladies, the truth is that character enhances your beauty, while a lack of character overshadows any physical beauty that you may have. Proverbs 11:22 memorably puts it this way. A beautiful woman who rejects good sense is like a gold ring in a pig's snout. Ladies, cultivate character. Daughters, if you would like to one day be married, and even if you are not, cultivate that character now. It does not matter what stage of life you are in. You can pursue the fear of the Lord now. That is where true beauty is to be found. And men, I love the advice one pastor gives. He says this, men, find a woman whose best qualities will get better over time. Value what God values. Over time, a woman who fears the Lord will grow in godliness. She will grow in character, and therefore she will grow in beauty. Now, friends, maybe you have heard older men say that they find their wives more attractive now than when they were first married. Maybe you wonder how that is true. Friends, those men know the beauty of a woman who fears the Lord. They know the beauty of character. And what is to be valued? What should you seek after? It is a woman who fears the Lord. To fear the Lord is to trust Him, to give Him honor, to be in awe of His greatness and His love and His mercy and His compassion, His glory. It is therefore to turn and follow Him in obedience and faith. It is to desire His approval and His good opinion over the opinion of anyone else. It is this, the fear of the Lord, that is the beginning of wisdom. And it is this, the fear of the Lord, more than anything else, that makes a Proverbs 31 woman. And church, a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. That's what we will see in the final point of the sermon, the praise of a godly woman. Look again with me at verses 28 through 31. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. Many women have done noble deeds, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord will be praised. Give her the reward of her labor and let her works praise her at the city gates. Ladies, what an encouragement those verses should be to you to pursue the fear of the Lord. There is a reward to wisdom. There is a reward to the fear of the Lord. Just look at the end of verse 30. A woman who fears the Lord will be praised. Ladies, if you seek to imitate the character of a Proverbs 31 woman, if you seek to provide for your household, if you seek to do your husband good, if you care for your children, if you serve others and care for the poor, they will likely rise up and praise you. Yes, there are wicked husbands. There are wicked children, ungrateful children, so this is no guarantee. But generally speaking, godly character brings praise. And notice godly character does not just bring the praise of family. It often brings the praise of the community. Verse 31, let her works praise her at the city gates. It is not just her husband who gets to be honored at the city gates. Her character wins the honor of her community. And this is good and right. Church, we should value and honor and praise women who fear the Lord. Praise God for them. But ladies, though it is not an earthly promise, let me encourage you that verse 30 is indeed a promise. It is a guarantee. The woman who fears the Lord will be praised. Even if you never win the praise of your husband or your children or your community, one day the Lord will say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter your master's rest. The Lord is a rewarder of all those who seek him. To fear the Lord, then, is to trust that pursuing wisdom and godliness will indeed bring his reward. Even if it brings earthly suffering, it is worth it. It will bring his reward. That is what it looks like to fear the Lord. And men, and really both men and children, let me draw your attention to the command or the exhortation given at the beginning of verse 31. Give the woman who fears the Lord the reward of her labor. The Lord commands the praise of the woman who fears the Lord. Children, it is good and right that you rise up and call your mother blessed for the ways that she works for your good. It is good and right that you would thank her. Husbands, you are commanded to praise and encourage your wives. So regularly encourage her for the ways that she shows herself to be a woman who fears the Lord. And husbands, remember, Proverbs 31 is an idealized picture of a woman of wisdom. You should not expect your wife to do all the things that Proverbs 31 woman does, especially all the time, or certainly not perfect. It would be sinful to withhold praise or to criticize until she meets that high standard. Indeed, simply praise her for the ways that she does do you good. Praise her for the ways that she does honor the Lord. Praise her for the ways that you see the fear of the Lord active in her life. Praise her for the godly wisdom and character that she does display. And so, husbands and children, let me encourage you to take time this afternoon, maybe over lunch, or if not over lunch, this evening over dinner, to praise your wife or to praise your mother for the ways that she has served you. Praise her for the godly character that you see in her life. Give her the reward of her labor. Well, church, if nothing else, to fear the Lord is to value the things that he values. And there are two things that are true about praise. are really two sides of the same coin. One, we seek to be praised. We seek to receive praise for what we value most. So women who try to find their worth in outward appearance seek praise for their beauty. They continually post pictures to Instagram looking for likes. But to fear the Lord is to value what God values. So we seek to be praised for what we value most. But the flip side of that, the second truth, is that we praise what we value most. So if we value outward beauty most, that is what we will praise and encourage. That is what our world praises and encourages. Husbands, it is a good thing to praise your wife's appearance. Let me be clear. You should do that. But men, to fear the Lord is to praise what he praises most of all. Remember that the book of Proverbs is really about the choice between woman folly and woman wisdom. Which path are you going to walk down? Are you going to go the way of the wisdom or the way of foolishness? Which woman are you going to choose? Are you going to choose woman folly or woman wisdom? So ladies, which woman are you seeking to be? Which qualities do you value most? Do you value the qualities of woman folly or woman wisdom? And men, which woman holds your attention? Where are your eyes and your attention drawn? Which one do you value? Which one do you praise? Let me again paraphrase Kevin DeYoung to show why these are such important questions that we ask. He writes, "If you say in your heart of hearts, you are not really sure, In other words, you're not really sure whether the qualities we find in Proverbs 31 are the things that you most value. If you're not convinced that these things are very excellent, very noble, and very beautiful, then you better be very careful, because this is a picture of Christ himself. What does he mean? Well, in 1 Corinthians 1:24, Jesus himself is called the wisdom of God in a much greater way than even the woman of Proverbs 31. In a much greater way than that, he is the embodiment of wisdom, the ultimate expression of the wisdom of the book of Proverbs. He is God's wisdom lived perfectly in human form. Again, Matthew 12, something greater than Solomon is here. He is wisdom, the perfect expression of God's wisdom in man. So the point that Kevin DeYoung is making is that if you do not value the qualities of the Proverbs 31 woman, can you really say that you value Jesus Christ himself? Ladies, if you do not desire these qualities, if you don't desire these qualities and these virtues that we find here, can you really say that you want to be more like Jesus? Men, if these are not the things that you are most attracted to, if these are not the things that you praise, can you really say that you find Jesus to be gloriously radiant, beautiful, worthy of praise and adoration, worthy to be followed? He is the wisdom of God. So if you do not find the character of the Proverbs 31 woman attractive, do you really find Jesus's character attractive? If you do not find her humble service compelling, do you really value Jesus, who sacrificed his life on the cross for the forgiveness of sins, who came to serve, not to be served? The ultimate call of Proverbs 31 is a call to each and every one of us. As one theologian put it, it is a call for us to choose wisdom, to marry wisdom, to marry her, to choose woman wisdom. It is a call for us to seek after Jesus Christ, to desire him more than we desire even precious jewels. Yes, he who finds a wife of noble character finds something precious. It is a good thing. It is an earthly gift. But he who finds salvation in Jesus Christ finds something far more valuable. And the good news, friends, is that all who seek after Jesus find him. All who turn from their sins in repentance and follow him in faith become part of his bride, the church. Friends, the call of Proverbs 31 is ultimately to seek after him. Let's pray.